Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Fornication and adultery are estimated by many professional Christians as sins which God blinketh at. These sins are practiced to a great extent. They do not acknowledge the claims of God's law upon them. They have broken the commandments of the great Jehovah and are zealously teaching their hearers to do the same, declaring that the law of God is abolished and consequently has no claim upon them. In accordance with this free state of things, sin does not appear so exceedingly sinful. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. We may expect to find men among those who thus teach, who will deceive and lie and give loose reins to lustful passions. But men and women who acknowledge the Ten Commandments binding should carry out in their lives the principle of all ten of the precepts given in the awful grandeur from Sinai. The Lord made his special covenant with ancient Israel. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be upon me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Exodus 19:5-6. He addresses his commandment-keeping people in these last days. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. 1 Peter 2:9-11. But all who profess to keep the commandments of God are not possessing their bodies in sanctification and honor. They can have a powerful influence if they will be sanctified by the truth they profess. They profess to be standing upon the elevated platform of eternal truth, keeping all of God's commandments. Therefore, if they indulge in sin, if they commit fornication and adultery, their crime is of tenfold greater magnitude than those I have referred to who have no knowledge of the law of God binding upon them. In a peculiar sense, to those who profess to keep God's law, dishonor him and reproach the truth by transgressing that law. This very sin, fornication, prevailed among ancient Israel, which brought the single manifestation of God's displeasure. The judgment of God followed close upon this heinous sin. Thousands of them fell, and their polluted bodies were left in the wilderness.
Let us pray. Our kind and heavenly Father, once again we are most grateful and thankful today we are in the land of the living. Once again we ask for the power of your Holy Spirit upon us as young men of that are called for this time to proclaim a gospel to our lost and dying world. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for what you do for us today, and not only for us, but for the listeners, Father. As this message go forward, once again, we hope it go forward with power. And when all is said and done, Father, we pray that we'll search to see if those things are true, and if they are, ask for the strength to walk in the light as you are in the light. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon, and once again, we want to welcome those who might be listening to us for the first time. Our topic this afternoon is Thou Shall Not Commit Adultery. It's a continuation of last week's program. We want to complete it this week. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. Or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit us on our website at www.tpministries.org. Any comments or any questions you have concerning this program or any programs that we've had in the past, you can give us a call and we'll be willing and ready to answer whatever questions that you might have. Now, Turning Point once again is having a live call-in show on November the 20th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. That'll be 2 hours of talk. Our subject will be Law and Grace. Law and Grace. That will be our topic for that evening. And if you have any questions that you might want us to answer on the air, call us at 322-6273 or email us at tpministries@hotmail.com or visit our website at www.tpministries.org. Now here's Brother Paul with our segment on the news and how it relates to our Christianity.
Thank you much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. We are happy to be coming into your home today, wherever you are today, listening to this radio program. There are a lot of things in the news today, so many that we have just mentioned, two or three of them, for this part of the segment of the show. There's a sad commentary I'd like to share with you of a young man who appeared to be under the influence of alcohol. In the Tribune, dated Friday, October 27, this young man, Clement Delancey, 31 years old, a.k.a. Horse, who lives in Freeport, Grand Bahama, went to a club, him and one of his friends, and apparently they got into some argument or some dispute with some people that were there. And one the friend of his went to the car and got his gun and began to shoot shots into the air. And apparently Clement got his hand on the gun and he shot himself in his head, and he's in the hospital for 7 months, they said, in a coma. He never came out of it, and he just died. So today we like to send condolences to his family on such a sad event. As a matter of fact, I may call him last week in the National Guardian. I wrote along the same line under the topic, the liquor sellers and the law makers. That was in the National Guardian. I had one lady that called who said that the article was right on, and she appreciated what I had to write there last week. So if you go up last week's Guardian, the religious section, I'd like you to read that column under the liquor sellers and the lawmakers. Or you can go to our website at www.tpministries, and you'll go in the newspaper ads, and that article will be on our website. That's www.tpministries.org, and it'll be under the link, newspaper ads. Also coming from the newspaper on Friday, again from the Tribune once again, we have, well, the local group is praising the ruling in the United States of America on same-sex marriage. Well, our local Rainbow Alliance are excited about this act, and they're hoping that one day maybe the same thing can happen here. We hear again, ladies and gentlemen, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. There's nothing we can do to reverse it, because Jesus says clearly in the book of Luke that as was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days when he returned. And here we are, just on the brink of eternity. This world is getting ready to wrap up. And men and women who Christ paid an ultimate price on Calvary's cross are just rejoicing that they can marry the same sex. Isn't that a sad state to be in this time in its history? Then we also have a young man that is said as reported was beaten by a police officer, a 12-year-old boy who's fighting for his life, according to some of his family members. They give this report to the Tribune in the Friday section. And also a group of young boys were making some sort of film at school at St. Andrews, and they were also dispelled from school because the so-called film that they were making on the school campus got out of control, and some of them was dismissed. Well, it's all because, you know, of what they watch on television. They just want to find a time to put this thing into play. And one from that story in the Tribune, the grandfather of one of the boys was pleading that they were just playing around. It wasn't really what the school penned out to be. Well, whatever it was, the Lord is going to intervene if it is His will to solve the situation. We'll pray towards this end, ladies and gentlemen. We see these things being fulfilled. Surely these things are pointing forward to the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And one more thing I'd like to say on the newspaper. I came across a very interesting article in the religious section of the Bahama Journal on Thursday past, where one of our local pastors celebrating 13 years of pastoral ministry. And at this local event, in honor of this event, they're getting ready to have a comedy act under the topic Christ in Comedy, featuring one so-called the King of Gospel Comedy. Ladies and gentlemen, is there any place in the gospel for comedy? Can you think about it? Jesus who left the courts of heaven to die on a rugged cross for you and I, and they're trying to comedy act the gospel of Jesus Christ? Romans 1:6 says the gospel of Christ is the power of God, not comedy, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible says in Matthew, I think it is, that every idle word we speak will give an account for in the judgment. Let's pray for this pastor. If he's faithful like he said he is, I hope that the Lord will rebuke his heart and cancel this event that is coming up before us a day too late.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. And once again, we're going to continue our study on Thou Shalt Commit Adultery. And last week, you made mention about the fact that you just don't have to be involved in the act, both heterosexual or homosexual, but anyone, any relationship outside of marriage is adulterous, and any relationship out of a man and woman in marriage is adulterous. You also mentioned the fact that when we dress improperly, that is also adultery. And I'm kind of want to bounce off of that this afternoon. In the newspaper this week, Minister of Social Services, Ms. Melanie Griffith, mentioned in an article about dress and pedophilia. She made mention about how the dress of young women have increased the sin of pedophilia in our land. And I'd just like to get your comments on that particular issue.
Well, thank you much, Brother June. You know, I'm happy that Mrs. Griffin, social worker who heads the department for the government in this area, is bringing this to the forefront of the parents. Maybe they'll hear her, you know, because over 4 years now, me and Brother Julian has been sharing with the ladies the importance of their dress. I'm happy that the government is now on board. I remember one time she was on the talk show, and I told her Mrs. Griffin, you know, I truly believe it's the dress code that's causing a lot of this havoc in the area of these social ills, especially around our young people, because the young girls are totally out of control based on their dress. And one of the things she said in this article that was written by the Nassau Guardian, she said, in addition, I'm quoting, Melanie Griffin revealed that it'll be mandatory reporting of child abuse will be including in the Child Protecting Bill, which the government plans to take into Parliament this week. Well, this week, they did start debate on this week. Last week, I should say, this debate did begin in the House of Assembly. It will continue going on to this week coming up. And they're trying to get this bill passed, but they're going to try to get a bill passed to dedicate with child abuse. But this is a bill that was passed a long time by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the book of Leviticus chapter 18. It's a whole chapter. I like for you to read in your spare time. That's the whole chapter of Leviticus chapter 18, where God talked specifically about nakedness and how we should deal with this nakedness and stuff like that. But the problem is, no one wants to hear God. And because they reject the counsel of God, Leviticus chapter 18, the whole chapter, now the government have to come and pass laws to try to help God out. But be assured, the government is trying to do a job that God did a long time ago. And I can assure you, they could pass as much laws as they want to. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. The sad part about it is when it gets worse, some of our people are so carnally minded, they blame the government. How could that be? How can you blame the government for your children acting the way they should not be acting? That's not right, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the government's fault. It is your fault. It is your fault and not the government's fault that your children conduct. As a matter of fact, if you read through Mrs. Griffin's statement, some of the things that were quoted in the paper, she also says that parents need to be held accountable. As so much more of our other ministers, time for the parents to take accountability, because the Bible says that you and I should train up our children the way they should go, and when they're old, they should not depart.
But Paul, there was also another article, and I think you've mentioned this on many occasions. I think a couple of shows that we have been on, other than Turning Point programs, this came up, I think, when we were talking about Jankunu a few years ago. This particular topic came up about concerning Junior Jankunu, specifically Junior Jankunu, because here we have some of our primary school girls and involved in some of these, the shaking and the dancing for culture, they say. And I think Bishop Gomez it was who mentioned in the papers this week concerning such an issue with Junior Jankunu. Would you like to give us a comment now?
Yes, Brother Joe. You know, I'm so happy that Brother Pastor Gomez, Bishop Gomez, I should say, made this statement, because I can remember a few years ago, me and Brother Joe was on a radio program, and he said, and when we tried to tell the host of that show that Junior Jankunu is one of the areas where people commit adultery, he thought he was talking craziness. But under the topic of cultural event, encourage immorality, I can kind of agree with Bishop Gomez more. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there are more babies that were born out of wedlock to Gombe and Jankunu, all these different festivals. Just to quote one thing that he quoted, Bishop Gomez said, young children are being permitted to engage in explicit sexual dance, which are inappropriate in a Christian community. And to that I say amen and amen. You know, because if you read again, if you should go to the Bible, read the whole account. That's in the book of Exodus, I think that is. I'm trying to find the scripture right quick. In the book of Exodus, you know, when Moses came up the mountaintop receiving the commandments from God, that's Exodus chapter 32. Read the whole chapter here again. And you will discover when Moses came up the mountaintop of receiving the commandments from God, he met the children in an outrage. I mean, they were caring so bad, he thought it was a noise of war. When you read that story through, they were dancing so vulgarly that they were even naked. And the Bible says, based on that, Moses was ordered to kill all those people that were there. A lot of people, as a matter of fact, to quote how much were died, 3,000 men died that day. You believe that? 3,000 men were ordered by Moses to kill because they were out of control. Suppose he was to bring the judgment. Suppose the government should go to, while they're discussing this immoral act, say all those people who carry on with these things that are not right, all of them should be slaughtered. A lot of people were just on the other day talking about the cat nine tail, how they want these things, these young men who do raping should be slashed with these whips. They deserve it. Well, how about us who commit adultery and all these other sorts of stuff? Should not we be slashed also? These are things we need to think about, ladies and gentlemen. Stop being one-sided with our arguments. If we're going to go all the way, let's go all the way. And the law will know that you are not one-sided with your spiritual issues, but you are on target with everything.
Brother Paul, I want to ask you a question. Here we have Bishop Gomez and Minister Griffin commenting on things that you have commented on, I could say years ago. How does that make you feel now?
Well, Brother Julian, spiritually, it makes me feel like what we said from the beginning. If people were not looking at us seriously then, they would say that, you know, something these young men told us that years ago. Sometimes people don't want to listen to us because we're just normal people. We're just like street people to them. You know, we don't have the big names behind our name. We're not in government. We're not in the high rank and file of ministerial work. We just laymen, just like our local teachers or doctors or lawyers or barbers or whatever it might be. But here we are today. We have two people that sit in prominent positions in this land, Melanie Griffin and also Bishop Gomez, who is saying that these social ills are because of the way the ladies dress, according to Mrs. Griffin, could be some of the things that spring off from that. And according to Bishop Gomez, the Jankunu Festival. Jankunu is one area that I wish will come to an end in this country, but you know, if we should do that, I guess the there'll be no government around here, because people will go crazy if the government try to shut down this this area called Jankunu culture. Well, culture is a learned behavior, ladies and gentlemen, and there was a time when we had a beautiful culture here in the Bahamas. We have lost that, where everyone knew each other. We were all each other's brothers keepers. Where if I needed something, be assured some family member, some friend, some mother, some neighbor would have helped me out. But we're not like that anymore. Everyone is so busy. Some of us don't even know who our next door neighbors are no more. We've been in this community for 13 years, 20 years, 30 years, some of us. And if someone should come and ask you, do you know Mr. So-and-so? Not knowing Mr. So-and-so lived right next to you, only a fence separating you, or maybe a wall. But we are so caught up in materialism and so caught up in our careers, we don't even care about our brothers and sisters anymore.
Well, Brother Paul, I look at, when you were speaking off the air, you made some comments concerning some things that where people commit adultery, maybe not knowingly. And I want you to comment on some of these areas that I've written down that you might have said that persons might be committing adultery. Now, tell me, how could someone be committing adultery at weddings?
Well, Brother Julian, as a matter of fact, the weddings today, the bridesmaids and the maid of honors, the bridesmaid, I should say, and the maid of honors, the way are they dressing today, I wonder if, could it be the husband, is he blind or something? How can you let your wife, who you getting ready to marry, march down the aisle with all of her breasts showing and all her arms reveal, her back out? I mean, thank God for the long dresses that they wear today. I know in the not too distant future, if Jesus don't come, I'm sure those wedding dresses are going to be cut down, because these ladies who want to get married, they're going to come looking sexy as they possibly could. And that sexy means sinful. It's out of order, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, if you ask my daughter to stand in your wedding, she have to have all her breasts out and all of her arms out and all of her back out and all of her... Some of these skirts that these ladies wear at the wedding, the bridesmaids, that is, the split comes all the way up almost to their panty, if you should ask me. This is wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Last week we quoted you, where Jesus said, if a man look after a woman and lust after in his heart, he's already committed adultery in his heart already. Just like he has already committed the act. And just like the devil, who is the ones that he are addressing today? They are the ladies. Ladies, I'm telling you, God is not pleased. And by the way, husband-to-be, if your wife have to dress that way, something that definitely got to be wrong with you. And no wonder why we have stories where ladies get married today, and a few months later you hear about the best man having a sexual relationship with the lady who he stand best man to his friend. Because men are stimulated by what they see. Ask any man that is thinking right, he will tell you that. Any man will tell you he is stimulated by what he see. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the way God has designed it. He has designed it for us to approach you all, and you say yes or no based on the situation. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for you to conduct yourself aright.
But Paul, I got a follow-up question to that. Do you want the ladies to be out of style? Because that, I think, so most of them will tell you, if you look at the magazines, the Cosmopolitan and the Modern Bride and the Disc Bride and the other magazine, they'll be out of style if they don't dress like that. What do you have to say to them about that?
Well, I said that, Brother Julian, as the Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has given the dress code in the book of Genesis. We quoted that to you last week, Genesis chapter 2, Adam and Eve were naked. And in Genesis chapter 2, God put clothes on them. Genesis chapter 3, he clothed them, he said he made them coats of skin. The dress code has not changed. I told you to read Exodus chapter 32, where the children in that day got naked. Moses was so vexed in that chapter when you read it, he break up the commandments of God. In other chapters of the Bible, you see where God ordered him to get another table of stone. He had to write the commandment once again on tables of stone. But thank God now those commandments are not written on stone anymore. They're now written on the tables of our heart.
Now, Brother Paul, you said that they have nakedness at the church banquets. Oh, tell me, Brother Paul, how was that so?
Well, it shouldn't be, Brother Julian, but believe it or not, I know just that I was on the church website, and they had some pictures from the church banquet, and the ladies were there and wearing some revealing clothes, and I'd be like, is this a Christian church banquet? Believe it or not, the ladies who I saw, they profess to be Christians. How can this be? Ladies and gentlemen, does the church banquet give you the right to take your clothes off? And while we're dealing with the church banquets, the sad part about it is the men be dressed from head to toe. You can't see none of their skin. The only part of the skin you basically don't see on men at banquets is their hand and their face and their neck. Everything has to be covered up from top to bottom. And this is not only in the churches. This is completely out of control. Does the banquet or the church banquet give you the right to take off your clothes, ladies and gentlemen? This is another area of committing adultery. Remember, adultery is not only the act, but it's also when you look at someone to lust after their heart. And by the way, man, why would you want someone to be stimulated by your wife anyway? Think about it, man. Come on, make your wife put on some clothes. It just breaks my heart.
But Paul, you have here men and women exercising. Now, I'm trying to figure how you want the brothers and sisters to go to Gold's Gym and not wear the proper attire. Again, being in style. What do you have to say?
Well, to be in style today is to be out of step with Jesus Christ. Nothing gives you the right to take off your clothes. Okay, there's a new outfit they have now in the exercising market. Now, they call them tights. Well, you know what I call it? I call it stockings and t-shirt. The only difference between the tights, what you call tights and the stockings, is most stockings you can see through the stockings. It just gives a different shade of skin. It might cover up your blotches on your legs or whatever, and the tights does the same thing. And ladies be walking up and down the street, in the gym, like Brother Julian said, with these tights on, they think it's quite cool. Even men, God forbid, are wearing these things. I mean, you know, one time ago, men used to be called, when they said they'd be called homosexuals. You know, but here again, the devil is at work, and he's letting everything out because, you know, time is short. And these men, I just in the paper on Friday again, I saw in the sports section where there's a young man exposing his body because he's a bodybuilder. I mean, come on, ladies and gentlemen. And the thing about it is, these same people, when we see ladies in the paper, in the Punch newspaper, they blast these ladies because they go to their swimsuit and stuff like that. But they don't say nothing but when these men and women be in their swimsuit in the regular papers, the Guardian, the Tribune, and all these other papers that are out there. It's the same sin, ladies and gentlemen. It's the same sin. The sad reality about this thing with these clothes that they wear in the newspapers and even at the beauty pageants. I long to see the day when ladies who were in beauty pageants specifically will come and do a real life story on what they had to do to get in those positions. The compromises they had to make in order for their career to take off. I long to see a documentary on that. And maybe some of these ladies will just come forward and say some of the things that they were able to go through in order to get in their positions that they find themselves when they win the position, or some of them didn't even win, but they find themselves in compromising positions. And at what price? What did they get along? Did they get any sexual transmitted diseases? Did they, you know, had to sell their soul in order to be collected first? Think about it. These are all images. These are all things planned by the devil to cause us to lose our way. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. The devil is trying to destroy us because, you know, we have but a short time. And if we should die in our sins, we will be in hell with him and his angels, who hell was only prepared for, according to the Bible.
What about track and field, Brother Paul? You can't expect us to win the gold medal if we're running in long skirts and blouses. Come on. Now, what do you have to say about track and field?
Well, first of all, Brother Julian, I don't believe God designed track and field. Anything dealing with competition is not designed by God. The Apostle Paul related a story, I don't have the text right before me, where he dealt with those who run for the prize, and he related that to a spiritual prize. And he said, just like how these people go all out trying to win a corruptible prize. Now notice he said a corruptible prize. Now if track and field was of God, nothing shouldn't be corruptible about that, because God don't deal with corruptible things. And even when he resurrects us Christians at the end of time, we continue to be faithful, he says this corruptible is going to put on incorruptibility. And the only reason why that's going to happen is because we're rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And that's why the Apostle Paul said the mystery of Christ is Christ in you and I, the hope of glory. Simply means that how we are simple creatures, a holy God can abide in us, empowering us to live right in his sight, and we are not destroyed. It's a mystery, the Apostle Paul called it. So this is not right. It just breaks my heart when I come back from the United States of America and I see our young ladies on display, and the girls who and the young men who win their different awards in track and field. They're on display there, I mean, for the whole world to see. I mean, people can actually take pictures of those pictures and take them back to the United States of America, wherever they are around the world, and they're being stimulated by these pictures, believe it or not. These same pictures can be used to photography, where they can take these pictures and add other faces to it in order to get their pictures sell. So it's very important when you put your body out there on display, you know what I mean, what is it doing? I mean, where is it going? Where is it going to end up? And all these things in the judgment, we're going to give an account. It might sound strange, but the time has come for us to study from cause to effect. What is going to be the effect of this attitude that I'm displaying based on my dress code at the track and field stadium? And who is it glorifying? Is it glorifying God, track and field? I don't think so. It's glorifying the mastermind himself, Satan, who is the competition master, who try to outdo it. Matter of fact, Satan himself, this is called Satan to be out of heaven. He said he's going to be like the Most High. Now, when we do these things, who are we trying to be like? Are we trying to be like Jesus? He never participated in track and field. Think about it.
What about Don's ministry, Brother Paul? You say that nakedness is revealed itself in Don's ministry. How is that possible? Where is that possible?
Well, Brother Julian, you know, just a few weeks ago, I stopped by a store, and, you know, they have these new flyers out now with these pictures with these people when they're advertising for their company. And there's a young lady on this flyer getting ready to participate in the dance ministry. And she has on one of these sucker blouses, I call it. The young lady, she don't look no more about it, but 17, 18 years old, 16 years old. And she has one of these sucker blouses, a tight-fitted blue jeans, and she is doing like a split. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, all of these are sexual things. The only difference between this is, it's just like the person is naked and you wear these sucker-type blouses. And in the judgment, we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account by these things. These dance ministries that are in these churches today, it just blows my mind. Where did this come from? Did Jesus introduce the dance ministry when he met with Mary Magdalene and his disciples when he left? Did they go around dancing from church to church, doing pantomime and all this bunch of foolishness? Where in the Bible do we get these things from? And we get all of these things, we get the dance ministries, we get the speaking in tongues, we get the slaying of the spirit, we get all these things, and the world is still getting worse and worse. As a matter of fact, we have ministers of the gospel who are caught up in sexual things like this. And the members of the church know this, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, says in the book, I think 1 Corinthians that is, he says, we should not keep company with fornicators. So if we know our pastor or our bishop or our elder or our deacon or one of the choir members are caught up in sexual immorality, the Bible says if we can't do away with that person, we should not fellowship in that church, because we too become a partaker of that adulterous lifestyle.
Okay, Brother Paul. Now, you talked about another one, and you talk about going to the beach. How should young ladies and young men go to the beach if not in a bathing suit?
Well, we're going to run out of time on this one. Next week, we're going to continue this, you know, Brother Julian. We only have about a minute left. Well, here again, this is time you need to study from cause to effect. And if you want to wear your bathing suit to the beach, I assure you, let it be a private beach, where it's only going to be you and your husband, or you and your children, or whatever like that, that you can sport off in your bathing suit. And next week, when we continue, we'll go through the rest of these points we have here sharing with you, sexual immorality. It's very important for us to remember that Jesus is going to come soon. When he comes, he don't want to find us outside the kingdom of God.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank thee once again, O God, for another opportunity and a privilege. Lord, as we ponder upon this, the broadness and the scope of thou shalt commit adultery, we ask that you would be with us. Open our minds and our hearts that we may accept what you have to offer today. It's our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm sorry, Brother Julian. I'm sorry, Brother Randall could not have been here with us today. He's going to be here next week. He had an emergency at his company that he worked for. Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. Don't forget, on November the 20th, we'll be live here on ZNS 1540 for 2 hours, taking your calls. So please join us on that day when the topic will be Law versus Grace.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.